Hello there and welcome along to this Monday postcast. It's the 30th of November. I'm Maddie Plell and this week we have some excellent guests. We have Mark Boylan joining us as well as Graham Rodway and Patrick Kennelly from Paddy Power. Coming up this week then, well, it was pure quality from Monday right the way through, wasn't it? We had Shishkin and Monkfish, just beautiful on chasing debut. We'll assess their Cheltenham credentials today. Did we see the Stayers Hurdle winner on Friday? Time Hill was awfully impressive in that long distance hurdle. Cloth Cap, well, he added his name to an illustrious roll of honour in the Ladbrokes Trophy, and what a victory it was. Never missed a beat. And then, of course, there was a whole galaxy of stars out on show at Fairy House on Sunday, including two unbeaten horses in Envoyelin and Honeysuckle. We're going to talk about all that in the next 40 minutes and much more. Delighted to have you along with us. The good news, if you're in England at the minute, is you're going to be able to go racing again soon. Sadly, not the case for Mark and Paddy. Maybe a bit more of that later, but let's get stuck in chronologically and talk about Shishkin, who made his chasing debut at Kempton on Monday. What was your assessment of this, G-Rod? Because a lot of people were giving him 10 out of 10. It was hard to disagree with that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he won nicely, didn't he? It was always going to be a case of if he jumped round, he was going to win that race. I think it's fair to say that he did a little bit more than that. He jumped round very well, didn't he? Very slick at his fences. And he looks like he could be at least the next Altior, if not the next sprinter, eh? I mean, he's a very exciting prospect. But of course, it's still very early days for him. And we're still going to have to see him in a proper race, going proper championship pace and jumping like he did on Monday. But from what we've seen so far, yeah, flawless.
The heir to the throne at Seven Barrows, isn't he, Shishkin? What about Monkfish then? He was another to post a sparkling chasing debut up in trip, obviously this time the Albert Bartlett winner. Paddy, hello. What did we learn about Monkfish on debut?
I think a fair bit. I think it wasn't the worst chase in the world. Probably wasn't even close to the worst to begin a chase scene. And he was very impressive. He shot to the top of the RSA, beginning to become, if I'm right, I think the third horse to do the Albert Bartlett and RSA, or whatever we're calling the race. I still don't know the sponsor, do we? RSA Double Weapons Amnesty. And Bobsworth, a couple have done that. He is now favourite for the race at 100 to 30. The big breakaway, who of course we saw over the weekend, 8 to 1 Envoy Allen. He surely won't go there, 10 to 1. But how many favourites did we see for Cheltenham over the weekend? I think it was probably about 8 or 9. So lots to discuss. Looking forward to it. Shishkin, by the way, you mentioned he's 7 to 4 favourite for the Arco, as you'd expect. It's 16 to 1 bar for the Arco. There's got to be some each way value in that. I think Felix Deji could be a very good bet at 16 to 1 for the Arco. A lot of water to go under the bridge between now and March. But yeah, Shishkin impressive, and we were impressed. We're now 7 to 4 favourite for the Arco.
I was keen on another horse for the Arkle, but less of that now. Mark, what was your opinion on Shishkin and Monkfish? Monkfish probably had the stronger horses to beat. Is it a case of simply needing to see them against stronger opposition, or do you think we've learned that they can jump and that's a big part of the question answered already?
Yeah, I think they both look very natural. They're obviously two horses that have come from point-to-point backgrounds, but it's obviously a different ball game when you get between the railings. But I thought Monkfish, the ease of which he jumped, he showed a real appetite for his fences. It was almost as if this was him beginning to, you know, I'm not saying last year he was obviously fantastic, but he warmed up as the season went on. Like, I remember him getting beaten at Fairy House, looking a little bit woolly again when he won the next time. He was good, but he wasn't flashy. And from him to show so much kind of dazzle in his performance on his first start of the year, I think it's frightening for the rest of the season to come. You know, I think it'll take a fair one to beat him in the RSA. But at the same time, you know, Willie Mullins, what he has started off over fences in the last, you know, week or 10 days. You have Colreve, Asterion Forlonge, Enner Gamine, Janadil, Black Bow, Yukon Lil. Like, there's some serious names that have started off in his yard. Like, what an amazing time for him. And if this is kind of just them starting off, or if we're only just scratching the surface, it's fairly frightening for the rest of the season. But as you say, Shishkin, like, you couldn't but be impressed by him. But really looking forward to seeing him in deeper territory, and maybe something can put a bit of pressure on him somehow. Because, you know, if he didn't win by the margin, I'd be disappointed. But, you know, it's the substance of his jumping that was really the taking point from it.
I think I'm going to know the answer to this, but just giving you a hypothetical scenario, guys. If we put Shishkin v Envoy Allen over let's say 2.5 miles at Cheltenham, who would you rather be on, G-Rod?
Yeah, very, very tough question, isn't it? You know, Envoy Len looks like an absolute superstar, looks fantastic. But, you know, don't take anything away from Shiskin. I mean, he looks pretty good himself, doesn't he? I don't know. I'm obviously, you know, for someone in my position, a punter and tipster, my job really is to try and find holes in these sorts of horses. Now, you know, because we can all come in here and say, well, Envoy Len, you know, is the second coming because he does look it. But as a tipster and a punter, you know, I'm always going to be looking to take him on because of a purely massive reputation that he is fulfilling. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's always going to go off ridiculously short price. And I think that if they were to meet, for example, Shishkin and Envoy Len, I'm fairly certain Envoy Len would be very, very short price to beat him. And because I'm sort of a value-orientated punter, I certainly wouldn't be putting myself off of taking Envoy Len on. I mean, in fact, you know, over the weekend, you know, I laid him at 2-11 or whatever it was for the Dream War. I'm more than happy to take these horses on because, yes, Envoy Len looks super. He looks fantastic. But, I mean, we've seen it before, haven't we? They don't always turn out. You know, I mean, a few years ago, everyone was raving on about Sam Crow being the second coming and the best horse to come out of Ireland for years and years and years. Now, don't get me wrong. I know he went on to win at Cheltenham and he has eventually fulfilled that promise. But he did get beat quite a few times at fairly short odds in between that. So, although Envoy Len looks brilliant and obviously I don't want to put a massive damper on it because I am excited by him in the same way I'm excited about Shishkin, I just think as a punter and a tipster, you always want to be looking to take on these really, really short price favourites like Envoy Len.
Given the quality of opposition, Mark, surely Envoy Len, he should have been winning in the style that he was yesterday, no?
The price will tell you that, but with this horse to me, and I'd be very much of Graham's logic there in terms of trying to find value and try and find faults in these horses. But I think now is the time that I'm just going to give up trying to find a fault in this fella. I thought it was just exceptional. He'd jumping from fence to fence. You could see him, his eyes nearly lighting up when he knew there was a perfect stride to come. I know we can get over the top and hype these horses up, but I just thought that was out of this world. And to me, he could have been any price. I could have backed the rest of the field, laid him like Graham. It didn't make a difference. I thought this was just sensational to watch. And if that didn't give you the goosebumps and get you standing up off your couch, really, really enjoying it, I don't know what this would do it for you. You know, to me, this fella, you know, if you're talking about 2.5 miles against Shishkin, I'd have this fella all day long. 2 miles, maybe you're going to stretch him a little bit in terms of pace. There's one thing I'd like to see, and it would be a strongly run race where he isn't bleeding, just to see what way his jumping reacts, just to see how he does it. But everything he's done so far, he's never disappointed us. He's danced every dance. He's won Champion Bumper. He's won a Ballymore. And to be honest, I just can't see him getting beaten this season whatsoever. But this is just, to me, like, you have to really enjoy him while he's here. It was just sensational at the weekend.
We can all agree with those sentiments for sure. It's what the game's about. And from a very, very talented chaser coming up, let's go and talk about a hurdler who's already established herself in Epatant, winning the Fighting Fifth. It was a dramatic race, not so sleepy. He caused absolute carnage. He unseated his jockey going into the first and then carried out Silver Streak. But Epatant breezed home. I think it'd be quite interesting to compare her and Honeysuckle. Obviously, Honeysuckle stayed in the mare's division last year, but this was confirmation that there was no fluke about what she did last season whatsoever. Paddy, how did the market for the Champion Hurdle react to this?
Yeah, unsurprising, she was cut because you might remember last week, or those of you who are watching the market, she was very weak, Epatant, all through the week. There was a bit of money late for her, but the vibes were that maybe she was going to need the run or she wasn't quite 100%. She was quite weak, and a lot of people were looking at the SP going, how on earth did we let her go off that price? I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was on this very postcast with you, Maddie, and I said, if So Royal wins the Champion Hurdle, I think it's fair to say we're going to be very disappointed in that particular Champion Hurdle. So she rightly put him to bed. She's now 15-8, which some may say is skimpy. But I can say that is basically just about top price for the Champion Hurdle. So our traders are not 100% convinced. I think she's about 6-4 elsewhere. Maybe a little bit shorter than 15-8 anyway. Sam Ra, he's 7-1. We still don't know how good he is. Goshen, where is Goshen? What's happened to Goshen? They were running them on the flat 3-4 weeks in a row, and now they can't. We can't see them over hurdles. Abracadabra, they're both 8-1, and Honeysuckle 16-1 for the mares. And Mark will tell you about Henry de Bromhead's interview with RT Television after her win at the weekend. And you just got the sense that I don't think he's going to be shirking the challenge. It may be up to the owners, but I think Henry might be pointing them towards the champion hurdle.
That would be fascinating, wouldn't it? That clash. I think Epiton, she's shown she has that blistering pace, but also her hurdling technique is exquisite. Mark, I mean, Honeysuckle, she didn't win by all that far at Fairy House, but she always looked like she was a cosy winner. How would you compare the two mares?
I think Jerry Hannah might have needed the defibrillator if Ronald Pump came any closer in the closing stages. He was really, really rattling home. I would have got the vibe that this Honeysuckle could be champion hurdle bound this season, far more than ever it was considered last season. I think the real D-Day for her that you're going to learn about that is the Irish champion hurdle. You know, if she can put it right up there with St. Roy and Abracadabras over here, I don't think, and if she was to win that, I don't think there's any doubt that she goes to the champion hurdle in my mind, barring she absolutely falls in and you know, it's a, there's some sort of a, an anomaly there. But to me, at the weekend, I wouldn't have been bowled over. I think the nature of the race and how it unfolded, where it just seemed to kind of sprint. You know, for a mare that's very effective over 2.5, I think she showed some gears. I think that's a positive. And on top of that, too, she's coming in here without a prep run. Last year, she had one, vaults up by 9 lengths or whatever it was. You know, and I think this time around, just that little bit of fitness, probably just told late on. But I think that gives you encouragement for the remainder of the season. You know, if you're looking for a value bet in the champion hurdle, she mightn't be bad value at 16-1. But if you're backing her at that, you're taking it that she's going to win the Irish champion hurdle, you know. And because I think if she wins the Irish champion hurdle, she goes to the champion hurdle at Cheltenham. So, but Epitant, like, that was absolutely sensational to watch. I know she only beats Soraya. I don't mean to say so, but, you know, this is proper exciting. Like, I mean, it's Bouverdaire kind of at his best. Kind of, she looks a bit like him. She hurdles really economically. What a kick Aidan Coleman must have got out of it. She is the one to beat the champion hurdle. That's not giving away any secrets about it, but it's just whether one can step up to match her, and given the mayor's allowance as well, it's going to be a hard task.
That's £7. It looks quite hefty when you see a performance like the one on Saturday, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like, look, there's people far wiser than me that have devised those scales and that have, you know, refined them over time, but I do think that it's a bit of a mess when you're looking at Honeysuckle getting £7 from Geldings, and you're getting Epitant as well. As they develop and they mature, surely it has to be a real advantage. You can understand it in their early stages of development, but as they do mature and get older, it's when you have a mare like Epitant, they're going to make full use of it every day of the week.
Yeah, it's in my opinion, Maddie, it's a plain not fair, you know. And you look at the race on Sunday between Honeysuckle and Ronald Pump. Yeah, Ronald Pump is going to come out the best horse in that race. And if I sat here and said to most of you that Ronald Pump is a better horse than Honeysuckle, most of you would probably laugh me out of the room. But if you look purely at the rate, ratings on the race, and you know, if you were going to rate that race around the way that they were weighted, you would have to say that Ronald Pump is a better horse than Honeysuckle. So Honeysuckle, yeah, has got a bunch of ones by her name, and he's absolutely unbeatable. But you have to remember that she is in receipt in what, in my opinion, is a ridiculous amount of weight.
How much would you have it at? Anything?
I think it's very, very difficult. But I've been arguing on the flat that for me, at the very, very, very top level, when you get horses like Enable, this is another example. You know, Enable is a horse for me who really benefited from getting a lot of weight from the colts, probably too much. When you get to the very, very top level, you get horses as good as Epitant, horses as good as Honeysuckle. I don't think they need a weight allowance. Yeah, you know, I think that if you put Epitant in this champion hurdle off level weights against San Roy, Abracadabra, Goshen, I think most of us would still fancy her to beat them. So in which case, if you're saying, well, would fancy Epitant to beat them off level weights, you know, she's going to be devilishly difficult to beat off, you know, with a £7 mare's allowance. Now, I think that the thing with the mare's allowance and the reason that it's there is that, you know, your average mare against your average gelding is probably £7 worse. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If you took averages and you said, well, you know, your average mare, your average gelding, most of them probably would be around £7 between them. But at the very, very top level, when you get a very top mare and a very top gelding, I don't think there's anything between them at the top level. So I certainly wouldn't be looking at anywhere near £7. I think it's massively overgenerous. But you cannot blame connections of Epitant or Honeysuckle, obviously, for trying to take advantage of it. And this is another reason for me as well why I'm a little bit against all these mares races. I know that they're great for the program and they're great for the breeding and all this. I know that, but I don't think we need them at the top level. I think that Epitant is proving here that top mares are capable of beating the best geldings, let alone competing with them. So why do they need their own mares race on the side? You know, because then you're only going to either end up with what happened with Corvega, where you end up with a mare that could easily have won probably two or three world hurdles and ends up winning, I don't know, six or seven mares hurdles, which, fantastic achievement all the same. But to me, that, you know, that just tainted her legacy a little bit. I would have liked to have seen her go on and prove herself against the geldings at Cheltenham. Otherwise, if they get dominated by a Corvega, for example, or if they don't get dominated by a Corvega, then they get won by horses who, in my opinion, are just below the top level of mares.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're not true Grade One races, in my opinion.
Okay. Fascinating insight there. And I think a lot of us would certainly agree with that. We love seeing the mares versus the geldings, don't we? But let's move on to a result which is going to have warmed the hearts of any racing fan out there. And that was also at Newcastle in the rehearsal chase. York Hill, he knows the game better than any of us, doesn't he? At 66-1, he winged round Newcastle and had us all shouting at the TV. Well, me anyway. This was fantastic, wasn't it, Mark? And how do you think they've done it, rejuvenating this horse? Because he is so tricky.
Ah, this horse is, you know, it'd be easier to work out how they calculate that R number. Or, you know what, Jesus, it's, I don't know how he's done this. Like, to me, he's always been a horse that's had immense talent. There's no doubt about that. But he's a horse who runs through a bale of hay on his pint-to-pint debut. You know, he's always had a screw loose somewhere. But this was a serious result. I mean, all credit to Sandy Thompson. And, you know, considering, you know, they give this horse time, like, there's not many to take a horse from Willie Mullins and turn this fella around, you know, like the way they did. You know, whether he can reproduce it again, God only knows, because that's probably an answer that will be decided between his two ears. But this was really, really, as you say, one to warm the heart. Really enjoyed it. And all credit to Ryan Mania as well. He's absolutely flying as well. Great to see him back and enjoying a winner in the big time.
Exactly that. Let's go to Newbury now then. And the feature was the Ladbrokes Trophy Chase. It was won in sensational style by Cloth Cap for Tom Scudamore and John Joe O'Neill. Paddy, what did you think when you were watching this race?
Thought he was very well backed. thought that's what we were thinking. He was really well backed as the odd good ground Ladbrokes Trophy. We don't normally talk about good ground Hennessy's or good grounds Ladbrokes Trophy. Yeah, but good ground, and he loves good ground, doesn't he? Cloth Cap, and the money arrived over the course of the week. Yeah, really well backed. He's, by the way, 25-1 for the Grand National as well now, from 66-1. Look, it was a bad result, but sure, look, we'll take the hit as we always do. What I can tell you, Maddie, is that was our big millionaire race over the weekend. And what do I mean by that, Maddie? Are you in for a million?
I don't think I am, you know.
Well, you still have a chance. I'll very quickly tell you what happens. Basically, you have to opt in to become part of the millionaire draw every Saturday between now and New Year's Day. We're going to give punters a chance to get into that draw by backing the winner. There was 4,300 people who backed Cloth Cap. They all go into a draw tonight. If they come out of the hat tonight, they get 10 grand. And they get a horse on New Year's Day at Cheltenham, and if that horse wins, they get £1 million. We've got a few more races. We're making it really easy for you this weekend, guys. You have to opt in and back the winner of the Grand Sefton at Aintree. No bother to you.
Might not be an issue for Mark and Graham, but it will be for me. Anyway, Cloth Cap, G-Rod, this was a well-handicapped horse on his best form, and he was in such a brilliant rhythm from the word go. Who were you on in the race? Who was your fancy beforehand?
Yeah, I actually backed Secret Investor, and I thought he was always really just struggling to go the pace. Really, in these big 3 mile, 2 furlong handicaps like this, you know, the key to winning them is travelling and jumping, isn't it? And being prominent. You know, if you can get up there in the first 4, 5, 6, jump well, travel away nicely, you're always going to be hard to beat, I find, because a lot of those in behind, there's often a lot of carnage. You know, you get the odd faller and it can take out two or three. And it's, I just think that that's the way to win these races. And fair play to Tom Scudamore. You know, he saw that. He got the horse to the front. He knew he was on a strong stayer. The horse got into a great rhythm. And they never really looked like beating him, did they?
Can you see this as a Ladbrokes Trophy which provides lots of big subsequent winners?
No, I thought it was a fairly weak running of the race before the race. Now, I think since it went to the Ladbrokes Trophy and since it wasn't the Hennessy, to my eye, it looks to have declined slightly in quality. I don't think that it's going to be throwing any Gold Cup horses up, that's for sure, which the old Hennessy was always known, really, for being a race that would throw up a Gold Cup horse, where I think I would certainly feel in the last couple of years it's not been up to that standard. I would be very surprised if this developed into anything other than now what it just appears to be, just a big handicap. Don't get me wrong, a great race to watch on its own and a fantastic spectacle, and I really enjoyed the race itself, but I don't think that you've seen anything top class in there.
What about Time Hill then, Paddy? What price did you go for the stayers after his win on Friday in the long distance hurdle?
Well, we left Paisley Park alone at 5-1 and we cut Time Hill into 6-1, but that was plenty big enough for a lot of punters, and he's now been backed into joint favour for the stairs. Oh, sorry, the Paddy Power stairs. I'll be sacked for that one. Right, yeah, so the Paddy Power stairs. He's now joint favourite of 5-1. This is turning into a real cracker of a race. I must say, I'm struggling to fall in love with the Champion Hurdle at the moment, but I'm beginning to really get a bit of a grow, as we'd say over here, a bit of love for the stairs. You've got those two at the top. You've got, well, the Cheltenham Special inside of Burleigh as well, who, well, we still don't know exactly how good he is, and he's just lurking behind as well. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on at Leperson over Christmas. But we were impressed, but not as impressed by punters. Time Hill's been backed into joint favourite.
Okay, and Mark, who would your fancy for the stayers be at this point in time?
I was very encouraged by how Paisley Park run. I mean, he's given £3 to Time Hill. He's obviously had a well-documented issue after his flap at Cheltenham last year. And, you know, the manner in which the race unfolded, you know, going steadily, you know, you've seen the pace scenario up front, switching and swapping at different stages. But yeah, I was really encouraged by how he ran on and came home. Like, oh, Time Hill is the up-and-coming horse. Paisley Park, you know, there is a chance that even if Paisley Park does get back to his best, that he won't be as good as Time Hill. But back on level weights in a race where stamina is more brought to the fore, I will be looking forward to seeing Paisley Park, and I think that's where my money would lie at this stage. But next time you're going to learn an awful lot more about how this stairs picture is shaping up. I really like Sire de Burleigh too.
Fantastic. Now, how many Cheltenham Festival winners did we see at Fairy House on Sunday? Could well have been 4. More on that just after this.
This New Year's Day, Paddy Power want to make one lucky punter a millionaire. Opt in and back a winner in one of our weekly millionaire qualifier races to be in with a chance to scoop the 1 million. Pick one winner, win 1 million. Not a bad way to ring in the new year, eh? Well, it beats waking up to texts you don't remember sending your ex asking if she's actually happy with Tony. To enter and to find out more, visit paddypower.com. Paddy Power. T's and C's apply. Exclude shops. Selected markets only. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday Racing Postcast. We've had a look at Newbury, we've had a look at Newcastle, and now our attention turn to Fairy House. Let's talk about Zanna here, who won the Juvenile Hurdle. And I'm not sure this was the result many were expecting, but this was really, really impressive. What did you think, G-Rod?
Yeah, well, it was quite an impressive win, wasn't it? But like you say, like, it's not often you see horses going off at that sort of price, is it? When you're trained by, what, Gordon Elliott, you've got Jack Kennedy on board. You know, and obviously they thought that Saint Sam, the Mullins horse, was going to be, you know, was going to be the one to beat there. And obviously he was giving £4 to the winner. But I'm not entirely sure that the right horse has won the race. Now, I know he won it well, but I just had a feeling that maybe still after that race, you know, Saint Sam might turn out to be the better of the pair.
What gave you that impression?
Well, you know, when you just, going into the race, I just got the feeling that they rated him really highly and that this wasn't quite what they were expecting. Obviously, fair enough, he was absolutely brushed aside by the winner. But, you know, when you just got such a big stable, got such a sort of high rating of a horse, and they don't perform like that, I just always a little bit wondering whether maybe it didn't run up to its best.
Okay, so G-Rod's cautious. Is this fella better than Quilixios? What do you think, Mark?
Oh, that's the million-dollar question. They're definitely the best two of Gordons anyway. I think they're a step ahead of Duffelcote in this division. Yeah, I think with St. Sam, we devised beforehand, we're very strong about him, as Graham said. Like there seems to be quite a bit of confidence about him coming from the Mullins camp. And I'd say in the fullness of time, he's going to prove to be an awful lot better than this suggests. But Zana here, connections haven't been any secret about him being one of their leading lights, I suppose, in this division as well. Like the way he won at Ballinrobe suggested it could be quite good. The Dark Voyager line to the farm didn't give it a boost exactly. But I mean, the way he... I just love how, you know, Jack travelled consistently, I thought, better than Paul and St. Sam. This fellow was always looking... He felt like he could just press the button and go. To me, I think Quilixios and Zana here, I think it's going to take a fair one across the water to get the better of him. But at the same time, you're going to have all these... You know, you have Christmas where you have... that juvenile hurdle there. You'll have just into the new year as well. There's always one pops up somewhere along the way. I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at this as a contest without the full set of players at this stage. So, I mean, I'd be cautious about backing the horse for the Triumph Hurdle on the basis that he might need me the best in his own yard. But I do think that those two will take very high rank among whatever does come out this season.
Previous winners include R. Connor and Espoir Dallin. So it is a race to follow. What price did you go for the Triumph Hurdle, Paddy?
Yeah, I went 8-1. Zana here, it's 12-1. Quilixios, who, as Mark rightly said, there was a lot of good vibes about him and has been in the Sheevey Park. So it stayed an all right weekend. Yumdor, 14-1. Duffelcote, who, my God, he's been busy for a juvenile already, 16-1, 20-1, and bigger the rest. I think the main takeaway from that race at Ferry House is that Graham Rodway is a very difficult man to impress.
always the way with that man. Let's move on to Bally Adam then. He won the Royal Bond. Jumping wasn't perfect by my sort of standards, but he is flying high at the top of the Supreme Market. What price did you go, Paddy?
Yeah, we went 6-1 for the Supreme. He's favoured for one of many favourites for Cheltenham race that ran on Sunday. It's 8-1 for Ernie Hollow, 16-1 and bigger the rest. That price got a fair tanking by Ted Walsh on RT. He said that was a disgrace live on air. But sure, look, there's nothing new there. Yeah, I thought he was fairly impressive. I took him on at the weekend, must say myself. So I kind of was looking for chinks. He was 8-15 on reputation. He hadn't done anything on the track to justify that SP. On Sunday, but I thought he was pretty impressive. Tougher task will lie, but 6-1 favourite for the Supreme.
I'll have Dusa instead. I want to see him come out next. Who have you got your eye on for the Supreme, G-Rod? It can't be Bally Adam at that price, no?
No, yeah. Unsurprisingly, I wasn't blown away with Bally Adam.
You're fast impressed. You're going to back him for the Champion Hurdle next year as well.
No, I didn't think it was the greatest of races, to be honest. You know, it was Grade One, but I would be balking at that sort of price. As the lads have said, I think it was Mark said, there's obviously you've got the big juveniles coming up. The big races coming up over Christmas, and that is really when you're going to see. You're going to see Nicky Henderson bring out his big guns, aren't you? I always think, really, I mean, with the Supreme, it tends to be won by the trainers that seem to be able to get a lot of speed into their horses. And Mullins and Henderson really have dominated, haven't they, in recent years. So I'll be keeping a close eye on whatever's coming out of certainly the Mullins yard and the Henderson yard over Christmas, because I think that... yeah, that might be where the winner might come from. It almost certainly will be where the favourite comes from, I think.
You can see the divide, can't you, between the Brits and the Irish here.
Yeah, that's the divide is the Irish Sea when it comes to Graham Rodway's thoughts on Cheltenham Festival, anyway.
He did mention Willie Mullins there, to be fair to him.
When it comes to my thoughts on most things, I think.
Righto. Now, the other Grade One on Sunday was the Drinmore Novices Chase. We've already waxed lyrical about Envoy Allen. So I want to just introduce another talking point in here. There was lots said on social media about the camera work. There was a big drone. There was a side-on shot. What did you think of that, Paddy? What do you think punters thought of that?
Yeah, look, that's you made the right point. The correct word there isn't a punters. I mean, if you are sitting there and you haven't had a bet in the race, and to be fair, not a huge amount of people would have had a bet in the race, you're watching it, you're thinking, this is great footage, right? You're thinking, this is amazing. You get to see the horse quicken, and you get to see it right up against the fence. But if you've backed a horse who's staying on from fourth or fifth in a handicap chase or handicap hurdle, and you've lost sight of it, it's incredibly frustrating. It really, really is. And I guess, look, the point was made on Twitter that maybe that's for after the race, and that's a good time for it. I actually, look, it's a simple one. If I've had a bet in a race, I want to see all the horses for as long as I possibly can. But if I haven't had the bet in a race, I absolutely want to see that footage. I think it's fantastic. So you're not going to win, I think, is the answer. Unfortunately, with this one, Maddie, you're going to get people who like it and people who don't. But I didn't have a bet in a race, and I thought it was great. And I didn't have a bet in a honeysuckle race. I thought it was great as well.
Maybe it's a case of using the sort of basic, if you like, shots during, and then using the additional ones after, perhaps. Mark, what do you think is the perfect mix? How would you best like to view a race on telly?
Well, I do like introducing new means of technology to do so. And earlier during the lockdown, Iris, the company that manages the shots in Irish racing, they did announce plans to introduce these drone shots and tracking cameras. And I think on the whole, they do bring a lot to it. Obviously, look, as you've said, being able to have the ability to see the whole field or close to it in shot is always going to be helpful. I do think there is a use for them. I think when you see Honeysuckle and you can see the acceleration, actually, even better example, when Envoy Allen began to assert away after the second last, I think the ability to just see just exactly how fast he's travelling, that's something that doesn't come from just the broad shot. That angle is really, really useful. Maybe it's something that needs to be used sparingly in that scenario, but I do think there is definitely a use for it. You can really get a sense of how fast they're travelling, and if you can bring that to people at home, that can only be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And let's just go back to Envoy Allen for a minute, because he's the horse that everybody's talking about. What makes him so special? Can you pinpoint it, Mark? He seems a very relaxed horse.
He just looks very clever as well. I think Ted Walsh was pointing out in the coverage as well about how he flicks his ears back and forth. And, you know, look, I'm always kind of conscious that we overdo this and we over-personalise these things. But this fella just looks to have a real... He's a brain for jumping. He's got the scope for jumping. And I don't know, even looking at him last year in the parade ring pre-Ballymore, he just looks a different size of an animal, different. He's popping out of his flesh. He's a real, real... When you were to paint a racehorse, that'd be what I'd have in mind as the perfect specimen. You know, and there's far more better educated people that'll be able to tell you what you want in a racehorse. But to me, he just ticks every box. And it's very easy to say that about a horse of his stature. But you know, I said to you, I really think we should be appreciating him while he's here, enjoying him. I've tried to find holes in him. I've backed against him. And it's proven very expensive. And at the end, I just sit there and enjoy what he's doing. I think I'm going to stop trying to get him beat at this stage and just appreciate him.
Yeah, no doubt the same goes for Honeysuckle, who, again, increased her record in that Hatton's Grace that we've mentioned already. Any eye catchers from the weekend, G-Rod? There's plenty of action that we haven't gone over just yet. Any horses you added to your tracker?
Yeah, absolutely. On
and
Friday,
don't take 4 hours to get through them.
Friday, there was the Grade 2 novices chase was won by Caribbean Boy. Yeah, wow, that looks a lovely horse, that does. Look at the way this horse jumps. Yeah, super over his fences. And I thought the whole way round, really, Daryl Jacob was really trying to hold on to him. And it was telling in the interview afterwards when they spoke to Daryl Jacob. He said, well, I was kind of trying to hold on to him, really, because we felt he needed the run. And we felt that that he maybe wouldn't want a really hard race first time up. And if you watch sort of between 3 out and 2 out, Daryl Jacob almost sort of lets Fiddler on the Roof go on. But then before you know it, Caribbean Boy is coming back at him on the bridle and goes away and wins it tightly. I think that you've seen a grade one horse there. Now, after the race, Nicky Henderson was pretty keen on him for the Ryanair chase. And I think that is a really good horse, Caribbean Boy. I could see him running very well in the Ryanair chase, knowing the way that Nicky Henderson trains. You know, it'll be working back from the Ryanair chase already. So I just wonder, maybe he's got, I think there's a race in January that Wait Impatiently won at Kempton. Obviously, Henderson loves Kempton. I wonder if you might see Caribbean Boy there as his prep race. And then maybe straight to the Ryanair afterwards. I think he could be a real lively outsider for the Ryanair Caribbean Boy.
fantastic. I know Keith Melrose has always been a big fan of Caribbean Boy. He talked me through the sectionals and all sorts when he won at Haydock last season. I think, Paddy, you cut him for the Caspian Caviar, didn't you? He's going to get reassessed before then, of course, if he does run.
Yeah, it would be very interesting if he does run, if Girard's right, and he is a grade one horse. He would go off a very short price. He's 8-1 second favourite for the Caspian Caviar at the Cheltenham Festival. That, if he goes for that wins, will probably be his last run in the handicap. 16-1 for the Ryanair, which I'm sure Girard's had a bit of. And I guess one of the stories of the race is Fiddler of the Roof. Where next for him? We've taken him out of a fair few markets, so it'll be very interesting to see where he goes next and what happens.
Indeed. Mark, any horses to add to the tracker?
Actually, just on a point there with the Royal Bond, it'll be interesting to see whether Bally Adam and Fernie Hollow are kept apart when it comes to Cheltenham. Both, to me, look kind of natural two-mile types and obviously are high enough in the Supreme betting. So considering the ownership at play there, it'll be very sporting if Cheveley Park allowed them to take on each other in the Supreme. But just wonder, would that be a team to follow over the coming months? To me, over the weekend, on the ropes, I thought he ran really well behind Monkfish. He was a horse that I had down, has been a little bit limited last year. Didn't really blow me away, but I thought this is a real step in the right direction. And there is a school of thought that those in Close Sutton believe there is more to come from this horse, that we haven't got a chance to see his full potential yet. And on the ropes is one that I'll be keeping an eye on going forward. And other than that, I thought in the bumper, there was good money for good land. It's typically a very, very strong bumper. Gordon Elliott's horse, Grand Paradise, won, but I think good land will have no trouble winning the bumper in due course.
There you are. Make sure to add those to your tracker. And we even saw perhaps the Challo winner at Newbury as well. Brave Man's Game, so much talent in last week's cards. Now, we didn't get a Grand National this year due to the COVID pandemic, but we are back over the big, fabulous entry fences this weekend. So stay tuned.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Now, I promised we'd talk about the two races over the Grand National fences, the Grand Sefton and the Beecher Chase this weekend, but we're just waiting for those entries to come on through. So we'll go first to the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase on Saturday. Of course, seeing the return of the mighty Altior, the 10-year-old now, and seven against him. Each way punters will be. So let's hope stay in. Greenatine is taking him on, as well as Politolog, Rouge Vif, First Flow, Bruno Storm, Castle Grace, Paddy and Esprit de Large. Do you think that Altior is going to be vulnerable this season, Graham Rodway?
Yep, definitely. The horse is regressive, according to Racing Post ratings. He's quite some way off of his best last time out when he beat So Royal, only ran into a rating of 173, and he's going to be the sort of 10-year-old, going on 11, running over 2 miles against the very best 2 milers around. Now, of course, this reminds me a little bit of what we had with Lorena last week. The problem we have as punters is that there isn't really a top 2 mile chaser around who can really stick it up to him.
I was going to say, that rating, you know, the mid-170s, that's high.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, 173 is a fairly decent standard of two-mile chaser. But, of course, you've got to remember that he's very, very best. You know, Altior's a 180-plus Racing Post ratings, you know. So he's, you're talking about a horse that's probably running 7 to 10 pounds below. He's very, very best. But that is still almost good enough to beat a lot of these opposition. I mean, for example, the second favourite in the race, Greenatine, only ran to a RPR of 158 last time. You know, so if they both run to their last time out form, Greenatine's got to find, what, £15 with Altior. Now, of course, you know, Greenatine is a 6-year-old and Altior is 10 going on 11. And there's a fair chance Altior might regress from 173 and maybe only run to 169, 170. And Greenatine might improve 10 or 12 pounds and therefore beat him.
Who would you back in the race then?
I think that the bet really has to be Politologue. Now, again, he is not, for me, an outstanding 2 mile chaser and almost certainly would not have won the champion chase last year. But for the obviously, Defi Desoy running well below form. Was it Chacon Pourssoir, who to me probably is the best 2 miler around if they can get him on the track? And the other one, I can't remember its name now. Oh, sorry, Altior himself, wasn't it? You know, I don't think Politologue would have won that champion chase had they all turned up at their very best. But of course, this is racing. They didn't. Politolog did. Paul Nicholls has said since that the key to getting the horse right is having him fresh. And I'm fairly certain that this year, Paul Nicholls is going to have two races in mind. This one, the Champion Chase. He'll bring him there fresh both times. He'll be spot on. I mean, Politolog run to 173 RPR when he won the Champion Chase. And I think that'll almost be good enough to win this.
Politolog, 18 lengths behind Defi Desoy in the race last year in fifth. He's a regular in these contests, isn't he? But G-Rod thinks he can do better than that this time around. I'm not sure about this Greenatine, you know. A rating of 158, I think, can't really understand why he's shorter than Politolog. And Rouge Vif, who I think would be my selection. More about the markets than us. Talk us through this. Do you think Altior, is there going to be more and more support for him as that sort of fan favourite and the horse that just keeps on winning as the race nears?
Probably, yeah. He's been very strong in the market over the last couple of weeks for whatever little betting there was on DePost. It did appear that vibes were good from the stable. He's been shortening and shortening. He's opened up 4-5 this morning after those at the latest forfeit stage. 4-1 Greenatine, 5-1 Politolog. Interesting choice that one for Harry Cobden. 7-1 Rouge Vif and 14-1 and Big of the Rest. And another Harry might get a ride, might he? Again, of course, he was Harry Skelton who wrote Politolog, remember, at Cheltenham. I wonder if he could get the nod again for Politolog if the likes of Harry Cobden writes a grand scene. Look, I do think Altior will be popular. He's a winning machine. So punters, you know, they back them until they lose. And he's only lost once, isn't he, over obstacles. So he will be popular. It'd be interesting to see if we get that sort of Lorena drift again that G-Rod mentioned last week. But yeah. 4-5 now, probably go off something similar to that, I'd say.
And how do you think Castle Grace Paddy's going to fit in? Because he'll help give us a comparison with the Irish form.
He'll give us some indication. He's always just been a little bit behind. Obviously, he beat the Plutard, and that was a really good run. Plutard, surely, that'll be the last time we see him over 2 miles. So he's a really consistent horse. You're right. You'll be able to rate our 2 milers in the main off him. But if he was within 10 lengths, I think William Mullins wouldn't be too annoyed with Shaq and Prasad. I think he would have him a good beating at Castle Grace Paddy. Mark would have a better view on that. But I imagine if Castle Grace Paddy does run and he's within 10, 12 lengths, I'd say the Irish would be happy enough.
And Mark, are you a big Shaq and Prasad fan?
Oh, I am. And I'm only just getting over the late withdrawal for the Champion Chase. I backed him before he won at Punchestown as a novice for the Champion Chase the following year. So to get as far as the morning of the Champion Chase, I needed several bouts of therapy, all right, to get over that one. But I can't wait to see him back out again. But it's just a case as to whether we can consistently see him turn up this season. You know, Willie is absolutely a master at giving these horses like campaigns and having them prime for March. But you know, as it stands, if you were to take him out of the picture, I think it's a very sparse looking 2 mile division. I know Put the Kettle On isn't doing anything wrong, but personally, I think there has to be something there that it exceeds her overall level of ability. They mightn't exceed her toughness and her grit, but I think in terms of natural ability, I'd hope there might be something there that have a little bit more than her. With this weekend in mind, I don't mean to be boring, but to me, it's a watch and race. You know, I can't get behind Altior at close to even money. And I mean, Greenatine is the up-and-coming horse. He has the potential to develop into a Champion Chase horse. And I like the route that he's taken here, that he has kind of earned his stripes in handicap company last season. But I'm interested now to see how it pans out. Politolog wouldn't be on my mind, to be quite honest. I thought he won a very, very poor renewal of the Champion Chase. And, you know, whatever happens, he'll always be on the roll of honour as a Champion Chase winner, and you can never take it away from him. But, you know, considering how Defi Desoy ran on the day, it's a race that I don't view with any great esteem in terms of form. So, you know, I'd be watching with a view to seeing if Anton can get close to Altior standard. I think Greenatine is obviously, he is absolutely the obvious one to go and try and match him. But I think the best 2 mile chaser is in Ireland at the moment, and that's Shaq and Pourceau.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+ begambleaware.org.
So this week's show is being recorded at a slightly earlier time, so we are still waiting for these final entries for Aintree, but nevertheless, let's talk about two fantastic handicaps. Let's start off with the Beecher Chase, then Walk in the Mill. No doubt he'll be running a horse who's really made a name for himself in this race, as well as the likes of Kimberlite Candy and Lebrun. No market for us just yet up to date, Paddy, but which horse would you have your eye on for it?
But I've got my eye on a horse who is a real bookmaker friend. I'll get to him in a second. But just to flag up that before we recorded, before the market came down, LeBroy was really, really strongly backed. I'd be shocked if he's not in the five-day stage, because he's been back from 16-1 down to 7-1. There was even money this morning for him, for Ben Pauling. He ran in the race last year. He ran creditably. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. He's been a very, very heavily backed horse in this race. And I've got my eye on a horse who we love here, Paddy Power, and his name is Single Farm Payment, because he he always runs very well. He's had one spin over the national fences. New trainer, of course. Tom George has lost a lot of horses. Henry Oliver now trains him. It'd be interesting to see. I'd look back in each way, obviously. Look, I don't know. You don't need to be scientists to figure that one out. But I think he had a good run over the national fences. If he runs, he's going to be in a very lightweight, just over 10 stone. Yeah, I think Single Farm Payment, he wasn't beaten a mile by Tiger All over the fences, and he could run well. He should place. He's not going to win, but he should place.
Okay, G-Rod, give us the winner, please.
Yeah, I like Kimberlite Candy for Tom Lacey. I think he's one of the sort of most unexposed stay-in chasers with a view to going marathons this year. Tom Lacey, I've run out some stats on him, and his horses improve significantly as they go up in trip. Usually, and this horse is still unexposed. I mean, he was very impressive when he won. I think it was that classic race at Warwick, beaten Captain Chaos. I think that he'll win a national of some kind, either this year or next. I'm not sure which one it will be. Hopefully not the West Sussex National or one of those. Hopefully it'll be a proper national, but I fancy Kimberlite Candy.
Okay, and Mark.
Yeah, give me a copper for me. I think the key here is to get him fresh. He's won off the back of 323 days off, 263, 83, 196. You know, he won the Badger Beers last year on his first start of the season. I'd say Paul Nicholls will have him fairly right for this, and he'd be my idea of the winner. But obviously, as we get a better idea of exactly what's taking him on, my confidence could go up or down.
Let's hope they stay in.
Give you breaking news, he runs, and I can tell you the Single Power Payment doesn't. A classic tip from a bookmaker. He Andy Fox loser after 30 seconds after tipping it up. Amazing effort. Andy is our 9-2 favorite. He's in Walk in the Middle, of course, and he's 11-2 as we speak. LeBroy, the Andy Fox mover, he's now 11-2, and Give Me a Copper is 10. Also got the 5-day stage for the Grand Sefton, which is our big millionaire race. Remember, opt in, back the winner, you got a chance to win a million. 11-2 Huntsman's Son, 6-1 Modus, he's been solid. Lord of Mayneal, 8-1 Senior Citizen, and Sametgal, both 9-1 and 10-1, and bigger the rest for the Grand Sefton, which is the other one over the national fences on Saturday.
Indeed, both sponsored by William Hill. The Grand Sefton is at 3:15 and the Beecher at 1:30. That was great fun. We should tip horses with no entries more often, but we have them now, thankfully. G-Rod, your thoughts on the Grand Sefton?
Yes, it's always one of my favourite races, really, because they go quite a good pace, don't they, around those fences. And really, it's the pace that puts the pressure on the jumping nowadays around Aintree, not so much the fences, obviously, since they've had the change to them. I mean, the horse that is likely to head the market, I think Huntsman's Son, has long been a horse of plenty of talent. And that one won quite nicely first time out at Wetherby. And I wouldn't be looking too far beyond Huntsman's Son.
He was super impressive, wasn't he? Beating 2 for gold, my fancy in the Ladbrokes Trophy. He did not do me any favours with his jumping on Saturday. Paddy, Huntsman's Son, I think he's 11-2 at the top of your market.
Yeah, 11-2, 6-1 Modus, 8-1 Lord of Mayneal, 9-1 Senior Citizen. A little bit disappointed Janika isn't running in the race. I'll put one up who's an interesting trip dropper in this race, and that's Dingo Dollar, who was long thought of as a proper Grand National horse for Alan King, who's having a wonderful 2020. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. He's dropping him trip for the Grand Sefton. Probably not a terrible move, to be fair. I think he's run over 3 miles and beyond in basically for the last nearly 3 years. So he's run over the national fences before. He could sneak into a place. He's 14-1 for the old Dingo.
Fantastic. Mark, have your say. Who wins the Grand Sefton?
I thought last year's winner, Hogan's High, would be very interesting if he's in the elusive list there that I can't seem to get my hands on at the moment. But I'd be very interested in him. Just clearly, absolutely relishes the place. And I would have fancied him to go close if he had got to the springtime and we were still racing at that stage. So, look, I know he's a fair bit higher. I think he's 12 pounds up compared to last year. But just clearly, absolutely loves the place. And I could see him, you know, no more than what you're saying, these sort of races, if you can get a price, I think he was 16-1 pre the forfeits. You know, that's sort of value to me. I couldn't really kick him out of the first four.
I don't think he's in.
Ah, fantastic. Yeah.
Confirm that for me.
We've each had a go at that, so.
He's not. Okay, hey, one each for the lads over. Yeah. Right.
We tried. We all tried. It's been a very enjoyable podcast. So thank you very much for joining us. The team will be back, and I promise you they will have the final fields on Friday. So make sure to tune into that, and I'll see you again next Monday. See you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.